The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Jones, I'm from BuzzFeed. You should be very excited because you are the first ever audience to see exclusive footage of the new show on YouTube, Origin. So to kick things off, let's invite our amazing producers and stars. So starting off, you definitely know this guy from Harry Potter. So let's bring out Tom Felton. And if that's not enough, you know her from Game of Thrones. Let's bring out Natalia Tena. Again, next up, you know him from the Resident Evil movies and now directing Origin. Paul W.S. Anderson. And then the creator and executive producer of Origin, Mika Watkins. And now, our new star, Sen Mitsuji. He plays Shun. Next up is Nora Arnezadeh. Okay, she can correct me when she's up here. Sorry about that, Nora. And then finally, Fraser Grimes. One more time for the audience.
Arnezadeh.
All right. Yeah, come on, give it up to Fraser too. And again, one more time for that teaser. But anyways, thanks for being here, guys. Now that we've all seen the teaser, Mika, if we could start with you, tell us a little about what Origin is.
Well, it's about a group of people who are essentially going to a new planet in search of a fresh start, and they basically wake up in a situation where everyone else has left the ship, and that clean slate that they were trying to achieve is completely compromised. So I guess at its core, it's about whether any of us can actually redefine who we are, or whether we're sort of made of something that can't really change.
Nice. Anything to add, Paul?
It's very, very scary as well.
Full of action in space. Nice. It's amazing.
Well, Paul, what drew you to directing the first two episodes?
It's the first time I've been in deep space since I did a movie, Event Horizon, and I'd never really wanted to go out into deep space again, because I thought I was really happy with that movie, and then I read Mika's script, and she persuaded me to go back out into space. And what I loved about it was that there's a lot of science fiction thriller aspects to it. It's very, very scary. It's very, very intriguing. But at its heart, it's about a series of broken people who want a fresh start. But instead of a fresh start, they wake up on this spaceship. They're alone. The crew has left them. The other settlers that are on the spaceship have gone. And these people who wanted a fresh start instead get put in a vice. And it squeezes and squeezes and squeezes and gets worse and worse for them. And we as the audience see whether these people crack or not. And I just thought that was a wonderful, wonderful character-driven basis for a television show.
That's a metaphorical vice.
Sometimes.
Thanks for that. So if we could just go down the line, starting with Tom, can you tell us who your character is?
Yes, hello. Hello, Comic-Con. 2018. It's good to see your lovely faces again. I play a chap called Logan Maine. who's a bit of an American scallywag. he's not the most pleasant of chaps at times, to be honest with you, but he has a good heart. Not always the best at group activities, doesn't sort of find himself fitting into the group quite as quickly as some of them do. But a really fun character. I look forward to you guys meeting him.
So I play Lana Pierce, and she's also American, and she's, as Paul says, she is broken. I suddenly thought about it, and I think she only smiles like twice in the whole thing. Her favourite partner is a gun. She really likes guns. And yeah, she's suffering from PTSD, but again, I'd say the same as you. I do think she's good inside. She's just, you know, certain circumstances have made her otherwise.
She's pretty terrifying, to be honest with you. In a good way.
How about you, Sen?
I play Shun Kenzaki. He's an ex-Yakuza, which is a Japanese gangster. And he leads to regret some of the stuff that he's done on Earth, and he's looking to run away from all of that and reinvent himself. Yeah.
How about you, Nora?
I play Evelyn Ray, and Evelyn is French, and she's an engineer, and she was recruited by the company Siren to work on the on the ship. And what can I tell you more about the character? She's very skillful. She's an engineer, of course. She's smart, I think. And she has to make the very difficult decision to just leave her life behind, her father who's sick, and to make a new life on this new planet. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, and Fraser?
Hello.
Are you taking it in?
I am. You know what? I've been acting 30 years, and this is my first Comic-Con. Okay, so I play a character called Henri Gassana. And Henri is a geneticist in his daytime job. He's in the future, he's kind of doing tests on DNA and looking at all the things that cause cancers and Alzheimer's and stuff like that, and trying to change the code so that we rid ourselves of these things that we have now that are killing people. And I think prior to going on the ship, he meets, let's just say, some questionable characters from a particular government and gets involved in some dark ops activities, which kind of reverse what he's been doing in not a good way. And so Henri, it doesn't end well for him, that particular experiment, and he decides that the best thing he can do is to get on the Origin. And I think that's something with all of the characters, that we in some way, shape or form are running away from something in our past, you know, and we see this trip on Origin and to the planet as a way of kind of getting rid of the past, making a new fresh start, and hopefully living happily ever after. But as you know, it never ends like that.
Nice. So, Mika,
does all sound effects.
Hopefully there's more sound effects. But as we noticed, there's a lot of elements going on, a little bit futuristic, a lot of spaceship stuff. What time is Origin taking place in?
We're quite vigilant not to say when. but it's sort of near future, and it's, I think it's a world that we recognize, but it's significantly enough apart from us that there's fast and light travel and spaceships and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so like a not too distant future.
Not too distant.
And Paul, what goes into sort of making that visual element make, whoops, almost knocked down the mic.
Easy.
But almost going into making that futuristic element, sort of filming or designing the spaceship and things like that?
Well, the fascinating thing about Origin is that it's not just a TV show set on a spaceship.
The structure of the show is that 60% of each episode is on board the Origin, so that involved obviously designing what we thought was quite a fresh, spectacular look for a spaceship. But also 40% of each show delves into one particular character's backstory and tells that story, tells how these people messed up their lives so bad on Earth that they're choosing to leave everything behind and go for a fresh start on a brand new planet. And that was very, very exciting for me because you're getting to do two shows. You're getting to do the future of Earth and also the spaceship show at the same time. And we have a very multinational cast. So the first episode that we're going to show you a little chunk of later is all set in Tokyo. So I got to do futuristic Tokyo. Then with Nat, we got to do futuristic Washington, D.C. We go to Ireland, we go to France. So you get to see the whole world. It's kind of global picture of the world in the future.
Nice. So as you mentioned, one of the important elements of the show is that everyone's trying to travel to this new planet, Theia. So what can you tell us about Theia?
I could tell you quite a bit about it, but it might all be lies. Because no one is quite certain. All these people have signed up because they want a fresh start. But the corporation that's paying for the spaceship and sending these settlers out there, you're never quite sure of their motives. It's called the Siren Corporation. And even as we were making the show, we were never quite certain whether these people were going to a certain future or not.
Yeah. So for your characters, can you speak a little as to why, without spoiling anything, they want to go to Theia in the first place?
Not really.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think the nice thing is every character has their own motives and their own reasons. And like, largely speaking, it is about leaving a certain chunk of your previous life behind, but in completely different facets for everyone.
I think that's what makes it interesting, is that everyone is trying to change, but those reasons why is what is explored. But
yes.
I'm going to spoil it for you.
No. But to tell on what Paul was saying, no, I really thought one of the most fascinating parts of the show is when we get to go back and see each character's previous story, largely speaking, it's in a different language, it's in a different setting, it's in a different cultural background, really. And I've never sort of seen a show do that before, so I'm really excited to see how that lands with audiences.
Yeah. And if there was another habitable planet, like 5 light-years away, we would all be very excited if that happened in real life. I forgot what my question. Let's know more about the end. No, but now I remember. So what I wanted to know is part of the show going to let us know sort of how the people on the show were able to find Theia and sort of what went into deciding to colonize it?
I think the corporation that are colonizing Theia and that are asking people to go there remain quite mysterious, as Paul said. So I think you get some sense in the pilot of what they're trying to do, but as Paul says, like how much of that is concrete?
Yeah. And another thing, so I've seen the first episode. We're going to see some footage a little bit later, but there are definitely some like futuristic gadgets and things like that. So what I wanted to ask Sen is, what are some sort of thinking of your watch in the show, what are some cool futuristic elements that you like? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just a watch, man.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We could talk about watches.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
No, in a couple of years, we're all going to be using phones that are projected onto our hand like this, and we talk like that. So like, yeah. That's already been designed. Just waiting for it.
And Fraser, your character is a doctor. Do we get to see any like futuristic medical techniques?
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing. So Henri, he arrives on the ship, and then when we all wake up, there are a couple of injured people, and someone asks, "Does anyone have any medical training?" And I do. So I put my hand up, and then I end up kind of becoming the doctor. But he does a lot more than just your everyday dealing with colds and stuff like that. He has lasers to play with that slice through fingers like he just put a beam and he just slices the finger off. And he also has some kind of quite brutal sawing equipment that you would think came out of the Victorian age, but apparently still exists in the future. And he's got some really nice tech as well as some old-fashioned tech. But the bottom line is, whenever Henri and the others are in that medical centre, there's lots and lots of blood. Yeah.
So as I said, we're about to show you a clip from the first episode of the show, but I wanted to ask Paul for a little bit of context about what we're going to see.
Yeah, we're going to show you, I think it's about 12 minutes of the very first episode. And we decided to show you so much because I've been to Comic-Con quite a lot, but usually promoting things where people know what it is. So we wanted, that's not the case here, so we wanted to really give you a feel for what the show is. And as I said before, it's cutting between the spaceship and one of the character stories. That story happens to be Sen's story. And it's a story about two brothers in futuristic Tokyo that are on opposite sides of the law. One is a police officer and one is a gangster. And we see the reason why Sen's character signs up to leave Earth is because he is responsible for his own brother's death. And also in this clip, we'll also see our characters discovering that they've actually been abandoned on this labyrinthine spaceship. So the origin is about 3 kilometers long. It's like a giant labyrinth, and there's only 11 people trapped within it.
So do we have the clip right?
What is that?
What are you doing?
Figuring out how it works.
Maybe.
No. How do you know how to do this? Find this.
Not too many people could just work their way around a spaceship's computer like it's a game console.
Computer's a computer. It's like reading music. You might get a piece you've never seen before, but soon chords start making sense to you. Evacuation.
What?
It was an emergency evacuation. Life rafts have departed the ship. Crew, the other passengers, they left without us.
Ship's empty. This one door is sealed shut. You don't find that a little f***ing suspicious?
The man on the radio asked for our help.
I'm just trying to keep us safe.
Really? Okay, what if it was you in there? The gun. I'll do it alone.
All right. Going together?
We'll sail with her.
Beginning to get a chance to erase everything that came before, but it woke up to this. What if we're in hell?
I don't believe in hell.
We have
on inside.
No, you can't go in there. You can't go in there.
What is that?
Do you hear something? Something hit the ship.
That's why the solar sails are torn.
Are you okay? He's siren. Hey, can you hear me?
You guys got one more scare for us? Is there one more twist that I'm missing? So, what was you guys' reaction to seeing that on screen?
It's awesome!
It really looks awesome, and I'm very moved to see that the audience are responding to it.
Yeah.
The audience is responding. That's really cool.
Well said.
You know?
Oh my god. So, Paul and Mika, what goes into building a great scare? Because we had like five of those in there.
You have to answer this.
Listen, it's a little weird watching it out of context because obviously you're watching like the very end of an episode, so you don't have all the build up, the claustrophobia of the ship and everything. So you're kind of jumping straight in on the scares, but you know, it's a pretty unpleasant place, and I wouldn't want to be there. I was actually saying to Nat, I would have left before she did. Very, very brave. And the thing that these people are driven though to find answers. It's not like you and I who would go into a room like that where it stinks of death and we go, okay, I'm out of here. They don't have any choice. They need to find, once they see a crew member, it's the first crew member they've met, they need to try and find answers because otherwise they're not going to survive on the spaceship. So I think it's, you know, putting these characters who are very driven in a very dangerous situation, and that
that's what leads to discovering it.
Right. And Natalia, what was it like filming that scene? Because we saw...
That room, that was my least favourite set. It's beautiful to look at, it was great, but it was a death trap. Everything was trying to kill you in that room. All the crevices, some of the crew started wearing hard hats. I slipped so many times. We were barefoot as well, so I got shit in my feet. It was a hard room to film in, but I'm so happy it does look so revolting and scary. It's great.
So, Mika, now that we've seen more of it, sort of what went into creating this story? Because it's, like, a lot. So many elements. International.
Yeah, I guess it's... because I don't think origin is one thing. It's many different things. So I think what I really wanted to do was... I wouldn't write a space show that was just exclusively people on a ship. I think what's really exciting about it is the fact that we get to do... For me, anyway, it was kind of, I get to write all that sort of genre horror and have all of that fun, but then one episode it might be a story about Japanese mafia, and the next it might be like a German spy noir, and the next it might be like a VR love story. So I think the excitement of getting to sort of throw all these different things at it is what made it so fun for me.
Yeah. And I think a great thing that comes with that is that you've sort of had so many international elements, actors of all different backgrounds, and like you said, we're seeing Tokyo and DC and things like that. Was that always the idea from the start? And for the cast, what's it like working with so many people of different backgrounds?
It's a nightmare. No, it's amazing. Yeah.
And
okay,
I think just different. In my experience, different. I'm used to us all pretending to be different nationalities, but it speaks to the writing, really. To have, it's not just 10 different languages or whatever, or however many it is. It's the opposing cultures and the opposing backgrounds in which they come from. I mean, Sen's sort of backstory versus, well, all of us, but especially mine, I think, could not be two more contrasting upbringings, really, which speaks to Mika's vivid imagination and vast knowledge of the world, I think. Yeah,
I think that was because it was meant to be, because it's these people that are going from all over the world to colonize this planet. It's meant to be like a slice of the world, and so I think if everyone was white and American, it wouldn't be quite the same.
Yeah. Sen taught me a little bit of Japanese. Oh. But I completely forgot about it, unfortunately. And Philip taught me a little bit of German.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, pretty cool.
You helped with my French.
Yeah, I helped you with your French.
There
All
we
the
go.
German that Philip taught us is too rude to say on this panel.
Yeah, I mean.
I think, though, the great kind of, the biggest message about, you know, working as a group of international artists, you know, in terms of the characters, is that, you know, we're all from different places around the world. But we're all cooperating to try and save our asses, you know? We've got the ship is kicking our ass, we've got something else in that ship which is trying to kick our ass, and we're all like from different nations cooperating, coming together to make it work, you know? Which I think is a great message for the show in general, you know?
Yeah, definitely. To add one more country to the list, I heard you guys filmed in South Africa. How was that?
It's amazing.
Cape Town is a spectacular place. Yeah, not just to look at, but also the people and the culture and the history. It really was.
The mountains, yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, just and the crew were fantastic. I had such a good time with them. I made such good friends. I met them a lot already.
Nice.
Shooting in Cape Town was amazing, but we also felt really, I felt pretty lonely, to be honest with you, because I was like far away from my family, and we were all like far from our family. Some had children, but what was interesting is that the show, it's also about leaving our family behind, our life behind, so it was a great analogy for, especially there's this scene where we see Thea, the planet, for the first time. Do I talk too long? Because you're looking
at me. No.
You can tell me, you can say, just shut up, and I'll shut up. So it was a great analogy for our situation, our real situation.
Right. And so this show's very tense.
What do you guys do to have fun on set and break that sort of tension? Any, like, practice?
I played with my dog, and everyone, we just had jokes. I don't know, it's just like those little moments, like, I was about to say backstage, what would you call it, in a little gazebo.
It wasn't that tense when we were actually making it. That was Paul's handiwork with the edit and so forth. We did have a very pleasant time.
Yeah, but if it was ever too tense, we'd just crack Harry Potter jokes.
Oh, yeah. You had to get one in, didn't you?
Do you have a good one?
Well, no, this is a good time to probably announce that I was called Draco for the entire shoot. She threw a couple of spells at me in the middle of tapes. I'm not joking. I gave her a green light early on, and it was to my detriment later on.
Oh, God, that's amazing. Okay. So, on the show, like, a lot of the characters are breaking off into groups, and everyone's sort of feeling each other out at first. Is it clear sort of who are the protagonists and the antagonists, or is it always switching up during the show? Is that another part of the mystery? I guess...
I think it's nice because I think at the beginning there are two quite clear antagonists. One of them is obviously Tom. And then I think as the show goes on, that just morphs and changes, and you realize the redemptive qualities they have. And I think that's all part of the theme, is about are you made of something that can't change, or can you sort of morph and adapt your environment. So I think that's what's interesting, is sometimes you trust the characters, sometimes you don't, and it's constantly evolving.
Nice.
I was just going to say that what I think that what's really interesting in this show is that the antagonist is actually the unknown, and that makes it like even like creepier.
Just to sort of chime in on Fraser's comment that it's one team of every sort of different nationality that's constantly morphing. Constantly there's people not being trusted or not being trusted, or being kicked out or doing the wrong thing, making drastic actions in the hope that they're saving the day, when actually they're just ballsing it up even further. Speaking from my own character there. It sort of morphs every episode, I think.
Yeah, and one more question before we go to the audience. Just want to know, if Thea was real and you had the option of going and being one of the colonizers of it, would you take that?
Only with this bunch of merry crew with me. Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I think space is terrifying, A. B, I don't know, I think there'd have to be a lot of things in place. Like, I'd have to go with a group of musicians because we need music in New Planet. I want coffee beans, I want vineyards, I want goats so we can have cheese. Like, a lot of things have to come into play. You'd be able to just go to Thea.
You want goat's cheese?
Yeah, goat's cheese.
That's really scary.
Exactly. Straight from the goat. How about you, Sam? Okay, we'll go Sam and Fraser.
Yeah. Did Tom say he was going?
What?
Did you say you were going?
No, I'm not.
What, you're going? Yes?
Wait, is this what you're basing your decision on? Whether
I think he said he's going and you're going.
I thought you meant answer the question.
No.
Okay, if you're going, I'm going. We're
I'm
in.
Not going.
All right, thank you very much. What a bastard. Are you set me wrong?
All right,
she's my friend.
No, I was just going to say that, I mean, I think we would consider it, wouldn't we? If we suddenly became aware of a planet where there wasn't going to be any war, there wasn't any poverty, there wasn't any starvation, you know, that would be something you'd seriously consider. You know, if it's something that's going to be like Earth, then you'd probably swerve it, you know? but if it really was no war, no poverty, no starvation, no disease, all the things that we fear on a planet at the moment, we'd probably all give it a good look.
Ooh. Nice. Good point.
But then wouldn't we take all the war and disease and all that crap that we usually do? That's the thing.
Yeah, right.
I mean...
That's season three.
Okay, so I want time for audience questions. So I'm not sure how it's working out. If someone has... Oh, there we go.
Okay, so, sir, what's your question?
Hey, I'm curious about how y'all approach the aesthetics for all these different cities you're going to be visiting. There seems to be, like, a lot of precedent for East Asian and sort of a futuristic setting, but how do you keep, like, the other cities familiar enough but also unique to this sort of universe?
That's a very good question.
For Paul. Yeah.
You know, that was the challenge of the show. I mean, every episode we were trying to show somewhere different. And, you know, obviously Tokyo, as you can see, is very, very urban, which is kind of an extension of what Tokyo is now. But the second episode, for example, is all set in the suburbs around Washington, D.C., that really looked pretty much exactly the same as they do now, because 40 years ago they looked pretty much exactly as they did right now still. So sometimes some things change, sometimes some things don't. And that was the great thing about being in South Africa as well. South Africa is an incredibly adaptable place. I mean, the locations are amazing. So we had like a really wide range of very, very striking locations to use for the futuristic settings.
Thank you. All right.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine from MuggleNet.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Tonks is my favorite character, but I'm so sorry, Natalia. My question's for Tom.
What's up?
So a lot of reviews for this TV show compare your character and origin to Draco Malfoy and his personality. In your experience, what are the similarities and differences of the two?
Absolutely bugger all, I'd say. One was a wizard with crap parents. The other one is a petty drug dealer from California. I really could not align those two up in any situation. I mean, I suppose I might look somewhat similar. My eyes are still the same colour, but other than that, I wouldn't really draw too much similarities. He's not the friendliest person in the world, I suppose we could say that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, MuggleNet.
I was wondering, this genre's been done so many times before. Do you have any worries about like a repeat of the genre? And when you're filming the show, you're like, oh, that's too alien, or that's too much like The Thing. Does that worry you at all?
Is that to me?
No.
It's a bloody good question for Mika, I
think. Miko, yes.
I don't know, I guess, I don't think so, because I think that's just like any other story of any genre, you could say. Maybe it's similar to something that's come before, but I really do think the show's very original in the sense, in the structure of how every episode works. And I think, because every episode is like its own film, I just think there's so many, you know, we're telling 10 different self-contained stories, so I just think every episode you'll be seeing something new. I guess no. Not worried.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate. But also I think piecing all those elements together is what also makes it original, because like you said, we're seeing so many different things. It's not just the spaceship that we see on the show.
All I can hear now is origin. No.
Right?
Oh. Is that not one of the best dad jokes you've ever heard?
Alright, we can go with the next question.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, sir, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense / scary is this series going to be? Because I should handle that.
Seven?
And a half.
A solid 7.5.
She's out. She's
out. I got one more if we got time. So you say you did filming in Cape Town. I realize that there's a water crisis going on there right now. So how did you handle that?
Nice. Nice segue.
It's actually much better now. When we first got there, you know, there's just things that you
you have to, you know, use a bucket for your shower water. I mean, I live on a canal boat, so for me it was actually quite an easy transition, because you really do conserve water a lot when you live there, because you have to then fill it up, and that's a mission. But yeah, when I was on my way there, all my friends were texting me going, "You're going to die!" And then it was actually alright, wasn't it? It's weird.
Yeah, you do pick up some bad habits though, because you're only supposed to flush number twos.
Oh yeah.
And when you leave Cape Town, you go back to wherever.
And you end
sticks.
Up.
Yeah.
But also.
So yeah, that's my apology to the hotel that we're staying.
It's room 219 in the. No, but also some good habits. I don't know about you, but I can't hear a tap running now without feeling the need to turn it off, because it's just wasting water.
And you drink a lot of Fanta and Coca-Cola and, yeah.
Nice. So we got a new wave of questions. What's your question?
Yeah, I saw that, you know, there seem to be practical effects as well as CG effects, and I really appreciate that. And I was wondering, for producers especially, you know, what's the desire of balancing that and, you know, finding the scariness of practical versus the really interesting futurism?
I mean, we tried to build as much as possible. So the sets that we built, we actually took over two studios in Cape Town to build the interior of the spaceship. So it was quite labyrinthine. And I think it was good for the actors. They had a real environment to interact with. You know, there were no kind of scenes where people were just standing against a blue screen trying to imagine what it looks like. So we tried, and even in the kind of Tokyo, we tried to build as much as possible. So thank you very much for YouTube for giving us all that cash. But you know, that was our approach. If we could do it practical, we tried to.
Awesome, cool.
We have time for one more question.
Hit it.
As actors in a science fiction show, did you do any unusual research for your role?
I was on YouTube. I'm not just saying. I'm not just saying that. Actually, I think because. Henri ends up doing a lot of stuff related to the brain, and you know, if you type in what is an occipital lobe, then somehow YouTube's got the answer. You know, so and then you got frontal lobe, and you got, you know, all these different lobes of the brain, and then when you want to find out how to actually get into the brain, it's on YouTube. You know, so it's a fact. You can find whatever the hell you want on YouTube.
On YouTube.
There we go.
I made researches about like planets, and I discovered that there is a planet called Theia, right?
Discovery.
Yeah. So that was a great discovery.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Of course.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, no, I YouTubed how to be a badass.
Good luck. Okay. So thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.